bottles of liquid zeolite.
It gives us incredible benefits.
Each and every show, it's always fun to go inside the Beltway to see what's happening there and how it affects us in our own backyards. Talk Radio News' Victoria Jones joins us now here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Victoria, big deal when it comes to ethanol. The Senate's going to vote, I guess, again on Thursday, right, and decide whether to end the tax breaks concerning ethanol. How much money are we talking about? I think it's a pretty big number.
It's a pretty big number. I mean, when you look at the actual debt ceiling, you know, it's not that much, really, because it's only $4 billion, you know, for a narrow industry. But when you look at, you know, you look at the actual amount, $4 billion is $4 billion.
Absolutely. Are there a lot of, I can imagine from the industry, though, there are a lot of people that aren't happy. What about the lobbyists? They must have been all over this.
Lobbyists are not happy. I mean, they're, yes, Grover Norquist isn't happy. You know, because he feels that this is basically people saying, oh, my goodness, they're now voting for a tax increase. Because you even had Jim DeMint, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Tom Coburn. They're all voting in favor of ending the tax breaks for ethanol.
Yeah, so you think pretty much that they're going to vote to strip it. You don't think that the vote will go in favor of the industry guys?
I don't know, because it's close. Because it was very tight. You know, the vote which was procedural, the vote mm-hmm. yesterday. So it's very hard to tell which way it's going to go tomorrow. It was very close.
All right, let's switch from ethanol. So we'll see what happens Thursday, you know, tomorrow. And
yeah.
Let's talk about the war powers standoff, because it really is a standoff. The White House now arguing that the president was very consistent when it came to the war powers resolution, without first asking, though, for congressional approval. There's been tensions before with presidents over this. What do you think happens here? Because Boehner has that deadline of Friday.
Well, yeah, and, the president says that what they've done now is they replied to the House resolution, which is what they asked them to do. They asked them to reply, and that there's really nothing else they can do. I mean, Boehner's, you know, sent this letter saying that even under a flexible interpretation of war powers resolution that would allow hostilities to last 90 days without congressional authorization, Obama's out of time, and he wants a legal explanation by Friday. So maybe he'll get one, maybe he won't. I don't know whether he'll get one or not. I think they feel, you know, there's a basically a four-page letter to Congress that the White House has released that they've answered. I mean, their basic answer is, we're not at war. That's
yeah.
their answer.
Yeah. So this is more tit for tat. They gave the information. Maybe they back off somewhat. When I say they, maybe some of the Republicans and maybe John Boehner himself, maybe they back down a little bit. But then it depends, like, I would assume, on what's going to happen in Libya, because I'm hearing from sources possible boots on the ground. Do you think that's true?
No, I'd be astounded if, particularly after this 32-page report that was sent to Congress today, if we put boots on the ground, because their whole rationale was that we don't have boots on the ground.
Right.
That's not what we're doing. I mean, what we're doing is a couple of little drones, you know.
A couple of little drones.
And we're doing a bit of surveillance, a bit of refueling, and that's all we're doing now.
Yeah. I like the way you said that, too. I'm going to remember that. A couple little drones. How many millions? Yeah. Let's switch gears and talk about something you told me about. You know, we're all crazy about apps. You look around and everybody has a phone loaded with apps. But now there's something being introduced about the location privacy bill as it concerns applications. What is that? Who introduced it? Al Franken, I guess, is part of it. And what is that about?
Yeah, Senators Al Franken and Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, and they introduced it today, or they unveiled it today, let's put it that way. It's going to require firms like Google and Apple and app developers to obtain consent before collecting or sharing consumers' location data. Franken said in a statement, citing concerns from anti-domestic violence groups about the potential for abuse. Geolocation technology gives us incredible benefits, but the same information that allows emergency responders to locate us when we're in trouble isn't necessarily info all of us want to share with the rest of the world. Basically, what it'll do, it'll give you the right to know what geolocation data is being collected about you and ensure you give your consent before it's shared with others.
Ooh, that's big.
Yeah, and it's location data from smartphones and mobile devices. And any firm that collects location data from more than 5,000 mobile devices has to take reasonable steps to protect and delete the data if requested by the customer.
All right, there you go. So that means more papers to sign. Read the fine print if all this goes through, which I think it would. I think this sails through.
I think so. It's being supported by Center for Democracy and Technology, the Consumers Union, and groups representing women and victims of crime.
Yeah. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News. Have a good one. Thank you. Talking there with Victoria right off of the top about the White House and the White House coming back and defending itself against criticism over the legality of the Libyan mission. This is far, far, far from over. She mentions a 32-page report, and they put in the information there that the cost of what the operations were in Libya, $715 million. Yeah, those few drones, $715 million, increasing to $1.1 billion by early September. You can't be halfway in this thing. We're either in this, we're out of this. What's going on here? So it's actually even the first time that we've seen anything as far as a legal rationale for continuing to do what we're doing in Libya without getting the approval or authorization, whatever you want to call it, from Congress within that 60-day window that is part of the War Powers Resolution Act. That's part of the deal, the 60-day window. Always the argument has been that because the U.S. is just limited, it's just a supporting role with NATO in this bombing. It's not just the United States, and the American forces aren't fully engaged in sustaining this fight. The president has an out. The president is within his constitutional rights to do this, to direct the mission and go it alone, so to speak, without Congress. Now, he wouldn't term it that way. 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue wouldn't term it that way, because they'd say, listen, we've had 10 briefings, we've talked to congressmen, congresswomen, etc., so nobody's in the dark on this. And the president feels as though the current military operations in Libya are very, very consistent with that WPR, with the War Powers Resolution. So I don't think that we've heard the last of this, because once the 32-page report was lobbed over, he had one senator, Bob Corker from Tennessee, who's got a resolution similar to what the House put up, saying that he's amazed that the U.S. forces, that he, you know, that the administration did not believe that U.S. forces were facing hostilities in Libya, saying that the generals have told lawmakers on the Hill otherwise in classified briefings that that is exactly what's happening. And remember, Corker is a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. So I think this tug of war is far, far, far from over. We're going to take you to a courtroom next in Orlando. Crazy, crazy doings in the Casey Anthony trial. The prosecution has arrested. You got a front row seat next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment solid basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
We've been talking about this trial a lot here on America Tonight. Of course, the Casey Anthony circus, because that's what it is. People lining up to get tickets in the morning so that they can sit in the courtroom. Apparently, they have 50 seats available for the public. Well, the latest thing is the prosecution has rested. This is after about 3 weeks of testimony. Chris O'Donnell is covering the trial in Orlando for a local television station. She's been there each and every day. Chris, this is a big deal that the prosecution is done. Were you surprised in watching what was going on at the length of time they took, or did you think maybe it would have taken longer?
Well, I think initially the thought was that it would take longer, but what happened was is the defense, when they gave their opening arguments, really laid out their whole case. And in doing that, many legal experts say they made a mistake because they, in essence, gave the prosecution their playbook. So the prosecution could sort of hold back witnesses, wait for the defense to put on their witnesses, and then they can bring anybody they want in rebuttal. So I think it was once the defense gave the opening statements, I think most experts agreed that this would take about 3 to 4 weeks, and that's where we're at. So tomorrow, beginning at 9 a.m., the defense will start calling their witnesses, and then the state gets the last word. So the state can come on and give a rebuttal to anything that the defense has to say before the case ultimately goes to the jury. And I wouldn't be surprised, Kate, that right now there are probably people sitting in the middle of downtown Orlando outside the courthouse waiting to get in.
It's the hardest ticket to get. I read that people were even arguing that some fists were flying over where they were waiting, you know, where their spot was in line, waiting to get these tickets. That's just crazy. And you've seen it firsthand, and that's what it's like, right? There's a little line.
Yes, there's a line. People will start lining up usually about midnight, 1 a.m., and then there's like a mad dash across the street when the doors open and everybody gets in line. And, yeah, there have been fist fights. There have been people taken out of the hospital. I mean, it is really, I think when you say circus atmosphere, I think you are absolutely right.
Yeah, there you go. What's the deal with the judge denying and all the different things that have happened in this case? This is a big one, and someone was talking to me, an attorney, about this earlier in the day. What about the judge denying Casey Anthony's acquittal motion? That's not necessarily a surprise if you've been watching.
Actually,
Yeah, actually, Kate, that was expected. That's something that typically happens in these types of cases. There always is, once the state reps, the defense will file a motion for acquittal, and it was not unexpected, and it was also not unexpected that the judge would say no. The motion for acquittal is denied. He's basically saying that the state has brought enough evidence in the case, and it's now up to the jury to decide, not the judge. So he basically took about an hour to say no. He cited a number of law cases, but in the end he said no, the judge, the motion for acquittal is denied. But that was not unexpected. That was something they expected to have happen.
Yeah. How about this one? Casey Anthony's defense attorneys, you mentioned now it's their turn. They're trying to question a convicted felon who was in prison for kidnapping, and they were saying in all these court documents they're filing that he's linked to Casey Anthony's father through the cell phone records. What do you know about that?
Yeah, well, that was a late thing that happened today after court had recessed. The defense added Evasco Thompson to their witness list. He was convicted in 1988 on kidnapping charges, served 10 years in prison, so obviously he is a felon. They're claiming that he made a number of phone calls, or no, let me take that back, that he and George had cell phone contact, George Anthony had cell phone contact four times on July 14th. That's the day before that 911 call by Cindy Anthony. And they're saying that they just discovered him and they wanted to pose him, so they've added him to the witness list. Now, George Anthony's attorney has come out and said, we have no idea who this is. George doesn't know who this person is. George has had no contact with this person, and it's just the defense's way of trying to discredit George Anthony at the 11th hour. So it's yet to be determined if the judge is even going to allow it. But he was a late add to the witness list, and the defense said that they do want to depose Vasco Thompson.
Yeah. Speaking of Casey Anthony's parents, apparently the defense also wants the parents kept out of the courtroom, but they're not going to win on that one, you think?
No, they haven't. They haven't up to this point, because there was a big brouhaha about it before trial started, basically saying, you know, they can't be in there because they're called as witnesses in this case, but because they are grandparents of the victim, they're allowed to be in court, because the victim's relatives are allowed to be in court, and because in this case they are grandparents of the victim, the judge said, yes, they can stay in court, and that includes her brother, Lee Anthony. He was allowed in as well.
Yeah. We're speaking with Chris O'Donnell. She's, of course, covering this trial in Orlando, the Casey Anthony trial. And, Chris, you know, in talking about the parents and all the testimony that we've gone through and the prosecution resting, what's the thought on Casey Anthony and whether or not she gets up there and starts to testify again? You think that will that be a long affair for the defense?
Boy, it's a big question, Kate, and it's one that keeps being asked down at the courthouse. Are they or are they not going to call Casey? The only people that know are the defense attorneys. But, you know, many legal experts that I've spoken to say that would probably be a disastrous move, because the prosecution could really start hammering home the fact that, you know, she had lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. And the defense has basically admitted that. Yes, she lied about all these things, but her daughter drowned in an accidental death in the swimming pool, and her father tried to cover it up, and we're going, you know, she is telling the truth about that. So in that case, you know, the defense takes a huge risk. But at the same time, they've laid so many things out there that, you know, Casey was abused by her father and her brother, and Kaylee died in the swimming pool. They may have no other recourse but to put her on the stand to try and prove some of these things. But I think at this point in time, Kate, your guess is as good as mine, and I think everybody is wondering, is she or is she not going to take the stand? And if that does happen, I can tell you that the circuit that is currently at the courthouse will be ratcheted up by about 10 levels, I think.
I'm sure there's going to be television live trucks parked all over the place, not like they aren't already, but even more so, as everybody and anyone will scramble around to get a little piece of real estate to try to go live from that courthouse. Chris, do you think, you know, we're talking about the prosecution and the fact that they rested. How did they afterwards, and because they've been pretty vocal with the media, do they feel, what did they say to the media about their case? Do they feel pretty confident? Did they make any statements to that effect afterwards?
They don't. I mean, you know, we've been there trying to get comments from them, and they, you know, they're not going to say a word to the media. The defense team hasn't said, you know, anything to the media as well. I think they let their case speak for itself. and everybody can see on TV how they're laying out their case. You know, these are experienced prosecutors. I think they have a record of something like 27 of 30 in death penalty cases. I mean, they know what they're doing. They have been down this road before. So I think their feeling is, you know, our work speaks for itself, our case speaks for itself. The defense team certainly isn't you know, going to say much to the media either, because you know, neither side wants really, you know, to give an inch or have anything that might land in the press. And the witnesses haven't either. I mean, they're instructed not to talk to the press. So, you know, basically our view of the prosecution's case is what we are, you know, what we are seeing on TV. Oh, and by the way, I did hear today that talking about if Casey takes the stand, people will start selling those tickets. You know, the tickets that they have waiting in line. And I heard today the going rate was like 500 or something like that. But that was just one of the rumors floating around Casey Town, as we call it.
Wow, scalpers for a trial. That's got to be a first, yeah. Other than probably O.J. Simpson, maybe. It's crazy. Speaking of a dollar amount, a lot has been made about how much this is going to cost the state of Florida. I heard it's going to cost maybe $1 million for this trial. Is that... Have you heard numbers like that?
I've heard a couple of $100,000 at this point. The defense has billed the state, I think, around, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, Kate, but I think they have billed the state around $150,000. So I think million may be a bit much, but who knows? I mean, all the final bills aren't in. So, I mean, this case isn't going on for 3 years. And the defense is, you know, it's using private investigators, you know, it is a costly defense in a very high-profile case. So I don't know if it'll make $1 million, but certainly a couple of $100,000 dollars is not, you know, out of the norm at all.
Yeah. The as far as Casey Anthony's concerned, you see people going in and out of the courthouse. Does she have a group of friends or associates or whatnot that are there in the courtroom as well, or no?
There does not seem to be at all, no. I mean, the only people that are related to Casey are there, you know, for Casey would be her parents. And whether they are in fact there for her or not remains to be seen, since they're, you know, they are testifying on behalf of the prosecution. So no, there doesn't appear to be anything like that, no.
Wow. Well, it's definitely interesting, and who knows what the timeline is, as we were talking about. We saw what happened with the prosecution. Don't know how long it's going to take the defense. Certainly we know we're going to go into July, I would think. I don't believe they're going to wrap up that quickly. Is that kind of the prevailing thought around the around the courthouse?
Yeah, the prevailing wisdom, I think, is that the jury could get the case by the 25th of June to the 27th of June. And then from there, who knows how long they will take to deliberate. Now, if they come back with a conviction of any kind, then, of course, as you know, you go into the penalty phase, which is like a mini trial in and of itself. So we're kind of guesstimating, and again, this is just a guesstimate, you know, early to mid-July. But anything can happen. You know, things have come out of left field with this case, so we really don't know. But the guesstimate right now is early to mid-July.
Chris O'Donnell, thanks so much for covering the Casey Anthony trial. We appreciate your time.
You don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Where can you find a super strength supplement for thyroid health and thyroid protection? Right here at thyroidki.com. Thyroid KI is a super strength potassium iodide supplement formulated to support optimal thyroid health and protection. Thyroid KI is made with only high-grade ingredients and is independently tested for purity. The potassium iodide found in Thyroid KI is absorbed by the thyroid and may offer maximum protection against radioactive iodine exposure. At only $19.90 for a 30-day supply, Thyroid KI is independently tested for purity and is formulated in convenient 32.5 milligram tablets for easy administration in children and adults. Visit ThyroidKI.com. That's thyroid, the letter K, the letter I.com. ThyroidKI.com. Use coupon code GCN for a 10% discount. Again, mention coupon code GCN for 10% off your order. Call 855-599-9444. 855-599-9444. Again, that's 855-599-9444 for Thyroid KI today.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I file from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
You've been waiting and waiting and waiting to prepare. And now it's almost here. The huge summer blowout sale at TrueWilderness.com. How much will you save? Up to 70% store-wide. Save this week on Alpine Air No. 10 cans, Wise Food Storage, Berkey Water Filters, Food Dehydrators, Pressure Cookers, Sawyer Water Filters, and much more at up to 70% off. But only at TrueWilderness.com. This is the preparedness sale you've been waiting for. TrueWilderness.com has every item you need for any emergency. Shelter and backpacks, knives and tools, lighting and radios, first aid, food storage, water filters, and much more. And now, during the huge summer blowout sale, save up to 70%. Call 877-573-7173 or go to TrueWilderness.com. Hurry, call 877-573-7173 or shop online at TrueWilderness.com. This huge sale starts this Saturday. True Wilderness, an urban survival company.
Two, three, go! Woo-hoo! My heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
Interesting stuff. Talking about Casey Anthony, just 25 years old. What a tragedy, no matter how you look at that. And you think of the young daughter and her skeletal remains being found and the shock and horror of that. And now all this nonsense going on in the courtroom. If Casey Anthony is found guilty, gets the death penalty, not very many women have been executed in this country. We've talked about the numbers before. So she would be 40th in recent times, if we were to go back and look at some of the more horrific crimes that women have been convicted of in capital cases. But the strange thing is that she's become a celebrity. She's become a celebrity in the middle of all of this. And I don't know if it's the details, if it's that people are so into what's going on in courtrooms and drama and whatnot that they've been sucked into the story right from the get-go. Nancy Grace, you know how she presents stuff. Nancy Grace really put this on the map when she was hammering it night after night after night. And then ultimately when they found the remains of the daughter, then the arrest and all the things that happened, because so many people, so much of the population are mothers themselves, and they think of, you know, there's two ways to look at this as to what happened there, and thinking, how does this happen? How does this happen with this young girl, with this family, with these problems? How does it get to this point? And all it takes is one juror to say, no way, not enough evidence. I mean, show me the murder weapon. Show me exactly what happened here. And that would throw everything out of whack, and she won't be convicted of the crime. But it is, I use the word circus because it really is like a circus. It is a three-ring deal. Over here we have the mother and the father. In the middle we have crazy, strange circumstances. And then on the end we have Casey Anthony herself. And you just have to wonder, it's fascinating in our legal system because you're supposedly innocent until proven guilty. What is going through the heads in the minds of those jurors as they sit there and listen to one scientific evidence about air samples that blew a doctor right off his feet practically when he smelled them, saying that there's no doubt the smell was horrible, like a decaying body, and that was an air sample taken from the trunk of a car that she was driving that was impounded. And then there were crazy stories about the father, the defense saying, listen, the father, the girl accidentally drowned. The father knew his wife couldn't take it, and they came up with a scheme to bury the body, and Casey Anthony went along with it because she was molested by her father. So you don't know what's going to dance out next. You don't know what's going to happen in this courtroom. And I really believe, and maybe there was some other precursor to this, but for everyone listening to me, you're driving in your truck right now, and you're here in America Tonight, or you're laying there in your bed, and you have insomnia. When was it that we started to pay so much attention to the law, to these sensationalized cases? Really, it had to be, I think, the Simpson trial. The chase in the Bronco, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Johnny Corcoran, of course, the famous saying with the glove, the evidence, Judge Ito, and how that was so much of that was made fun of, and how the people really became celebrities in that case. The defense, the prosecution, the dream team, the people who testified, the amount of coverage on that was incredible. And then there were people that were commenting on the legal side that became celebrities themselves. Greta Van Susteren, she was huge in her comments every day commenting on the Simpson trial, then gets her own show. Remember, she had a show with Roger Cossack on CNN and now, of course, on Fox. And there were a lot of other people that emerged from that with different jobs having to do with the media. And I think really what blossomed was the interest, the fascination people had with super sensationalized cases. Casey Anthony is one of those. Casey Anthony is right up there with the O.J. Simpson trial. There are people that just cannot get enough of it. Look at the people, as Chris was saying, lining up at midnight to get a ticket into the courtroom the next day. Mm-mm-mm. All right, I'm going to switch here on ATN, as I'm known to do. Sometimes we zig and zag a little bit. I am the poll princess because I always wonder really what people are thinking, first of all, when they take some of these polls, and the answers are revealing. And there is something about this, because if polls were completely bogus, even if it's a small sampling, then people wouldn't pay for them. Gallup wouldn't have become what it is, and all these other polls that are put together, they'd be useless. And politicians, especially, who wouldn't glean anything from it, would say, why are we paying for this? Why are we raising money to pay for these useless polls? So there is something to it. There is some magic in the mayhem of crunching all these numbers. These are two different ones, but I found them fascinating when I was going through a bunch of stuff earlier in the day. This also may be where you're at right now. Plenty of people who've called this show are retired. Plenty are on the much younger end of the spectrum, where they're in their 20s or 30s, and they're wondering if they can even retire with all the stuff that we say about Social Security and jobs and all that stuff into the future. So check this out from Gallup. It looks like more Americans are worried about not having enough money for retirement than a bunch of other things that affect you financially. What they did was they listed a couple of things, and this is interesting to me. So if you're in your 20s, this says something about your personality if you're worried about retiring already. However, not having enough money for retirement, like I said, was number one. Very or moderately worried, 66%. 30% said they're not too worried or not worried at all. How about this one? Not being able to pay medical costs for a serious illness or an accident. 60% very worried. 38% not worried at all. You know what? There's a thing called projecting onto yourself, or when you, in other words, when you keep thinking it's in your head, these crazy thoughts about worries over money, over medical, over whatever, and then you plant the seed and then it becomes reality. So here's another one. Not being able to maintain your standard of living, 58%, very worried. I can see that. That I get with people losing jobs and all that other stuff. That makes sense to me. 41% not worried at all. Not being able to pay just normal medical health care, you know, doctor's visits. 48% very worried. 50 not worried at all. Not having enough to pay your normal monthly bills. See, I think that would be bigger on people's list because it's right in front of you. 43% very worried. 50 not worried at all. Not worried. Not having enough money to pay for your children's college. 41% very worried. 27 not worried at all. Not being able to pay your rent, mortgage, other housing. I would think that would be huge, along with monthly bills. 36% very worried. Check this out. 58 not too worried. What does that tell you? Well, screw it. If we have to foreclose, we foreclose. 58% not worried about it, but yet they're 66% worried about retirement. How about this? This makes you sick, huh? Not being able to make the minimum payments on your credit cards. Very telling here, too. Very worried, 24%. Not too worried, 60%. Wow. What does that say? What does that say? I think that some of that is a little bit backwards. You cannot be in your 20s and 30s and be having flop sweats and night terrors and tremors over whether or not you're retiring, because all that other stuff is there. You have many other things that I think would hit your triggers right now versus, oh, let's think about it down the line. And that's like the worst. I don't get it. I understand being concerned about financial matters in general. And I understand if someone's getting ready to retire, why they would feel that way. But boy, when you're 18 to 29 years old and you're very worried about whether or not you can retire, you need to chillax a little bit. You really do, because it's going to be all right. You have to take care of those other things first. You know, then you can worry about it. Oh, wow. It kind of goes along with this other thing I saw from Reuters, because they had a poll, and it talked about the rich world's economic prospects that they've gotten a little dark. And this is from economists, though. So this is your everyday people, different age groups. And the other thing is economists, they say there's new signs of a slowdown in the United States that compounds those fears about the fiscal health of Western economies. And while China and India are taking huge leaps to calm inflation worries there, in the West, of course, it's all about defusing our fiscal time bombs. And boy, do we have a time bomb. We know what that is, right? The deficit ceiling and what we're going to do there. I mean, the debt ceiling. Are we going to lift the debt ceiling or just slam right through it? So in the poll, that's what it shows. Economists in the Wednesday poll took an axe, basically, to the outlook of the U.S. economic growth, because they say, look, jobs, industrial data is pathetic, oil concerns. I mean, they were ugly, ugly numbers. All right, on the flip side, little odds and ends.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. And the answer is, Ali C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali C.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
As we race to the finish line of this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, little odds and ends for you. And what is that? Well, while you were sleeping, perhaps, or maybe while you were busy doing other things, you might have missed a couple of deals that I think are worth throwing your way. Like, got to give credit where credit's due when it comes to the big four in sports, even if you're not a sports fan. A smart audience. You read either blogs or papers still or whatever, and you might peruse a little bit the sports section, but this will be on the front page of a lot of papers. The Bruins win the Stanley Cup, knocking off the Canucks in a final. Yes, indeed. In a final game seven. Game seven are thrilling, because that's it. All the way to the wire. You got three, I got three, and here's the rubber match. So they did it in Canada, and this for the Bruins is the first time they've won it in 39 years. 39 years is a long time in between Stanley Cups. And here's a little funny thing about the Stanley Cup. You see, if you'll see the skaters skate with it above their head, you know, and it looks like it's this giant thing, and it is pretty big. I took a picture of the Stanley Cup once and had a chance to look at it, and it is so dented, and it is so crazy what happens with the Stanley Cup. Check this out, folks. This is the best. If you win the Stanley Cup, you get to spend time with the cup. So in other words, if I'm a player on the team, I could be the equipment manager, the coach, the general manager, whatever. I get to take the cup for a couple of days. It can sit in my house. It could be at my picnic. We could fill it with beer. We could fill it with hot dogs. We could throw it in a pool. And people have done very crazy things to the Stanley Cup. It's kind of an irreverent deal, and I love that about this. Love it. So here you go. You've got a Canadian city. It is Canada's game. They're in Vancouver, British Columbia, and they couldn't close the deal. So Boston gets the cup after 39 years. And, you know, to be sure, Boston is a huge hockey town anyway. But congratulations to the Bruins. Tim Thomas, 37 saves, a shutout, 4-0. That was the final in that matchup, 4-0. And what a backstopper he's been for them. So it's only fitting that he'd have that kind of a game. He was the most valuable player, the only one who wanted to take hockey pucks in the face. Because trust me, they come at you about, 90-some miles an hour. Yeah, you have to be able to withstand it. All right, let's continue down the path of odds and ends. You know, we've been talking a lot about 2012 and what's going to happen with the Republicans. Well, another name is emerging, and this is going to happen for a while. You get some breadcrumbs that get thrown out there, someone testing the water, and then deciding to dive in. Former ambassador to China, a guy named John Hutzman, is going to announce that he wants to run for president. He's going to do it in New Jersey. The Statue of Liberty would be the backdrop because he'll be at the Liberty State Park on the Jersey side. He's interesting. He was Utah's governor for 3 or 4 years before President Obama, before all of that happened, before Obama. And he was appointed to the top post in Beijing. So it's kind of different than the other people that are in the middle of this. His background's a little bit different. And he's skipping the Iowa caucuses, which is really where your litmus test comes in. It's the first GOP presidential contest. But he's doing it because he opposes ethanol and farm subsidies. And that's clearly two huge issues that are near and dear to the hearts of Iowans, many listening to America Tonight. I mean, how would you feel, Iowa, about a candidate who opposed ethanol and farm subsidies? I'm going to say he's probably not going to do very well. So it's smart to step away from going there. But he's an intriguing candidate. I don't think he has a prayer of getting the nomination, but maybe could be a second person on a ticket. See, this is what I'm starting to think. When you get this many people that are declaring they want to be president, then you start to look and think, okay, let's see what they do. Maybe this is somebody that could be the other part of the other part of the equation. So the VP nominee. And this guy could probably be that with the experience he's had internationally, the experience he's had here in the States. And he has a couple of different things on his resume, I think, that make him stand out. Now, how he plays with the voters, I have no idea. I have no idea how that would work out for him, because he's going to have to hit the ground running if he's not going to go to Iowa. Then you also have the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, who spent some time in New York wooing rich Republicans who have some sway. And he almost seems like he's serious about potentially running. He talks about the conservative view. That was what he was really, really pushing. And he talked to a bunch of Republicans on Tuesday night and talked about considering running on the Republican side, of course. And he has backing. He has backing. And his deal is Washington is too big, too powerful, too much of a machine, and it's all more about states' rights, all more about smaller government. So he pushes the conservative, definitely pushes the conservative line, and he's pro-gun. There are a couple of things that would make him popular in some areas. He, as the governor, he's got a 42% approval rating, and how that would possibly work if he were to be serious and take it all the way through, I don't know. He's another guy that I also would say would be better as the second person on the ticket. He, in other words, because of his experience, because of how he feels about guns, because of less power in Washington and the gridlock, he would be, I think, appealing probably there. Sadly, another odds and ends is Mother Nature, and this time we're talking about Florida getting hammered, but it's strange, it's because of lightning. Lightning like in Tampa, it's like the lightning capital of the world. But you got about 40 new wildfires breaking out every day because of the very dry conditions. They say across Florida, everybody was focusing on Arizona, but at least 384 fires are burning. So far, 115 acres down. The governor declared a state of emergency already earlier in the week because of the drought conditions and says it's above the average on a yearly basis. And we're getting hammered by the lightning coming through. And that's what it is in Tampa, but not just in Tampa. In Ocala and a lot of regions, they have wicked lightning storms, and that strike hits somewhere and all of a sudden spurs one of these fires. So it's too big for the state to handle. They've got other people coming in, Virginia, Kentucky, lending a hand. They got about, you know, 200-300 people fighting this thing because it continues to just scorch the earth. Whew. I mean, this happens every year, and we know it, and you know that the firefighters get better at doing what they do, and they build the lines and, you know, do whatever they can to try to quell the fires. But isn't it seem like there's more fires than usual? Well, I guess it's because drought conditions and land, Arizona, now Florida, California, they get those Santa Ana winds, and they're just toast when that happens. Oof, just absolutely toast. Good time to remind you, hey, it's never too late to practice the fire safety thing. I can say this. I don't have to take a poll. I bet 80% of you listening to this show have no idea what to do if a fire were to break out in your house. I'm just saying. I could just see you smashing the window trying to figure a way to get out. Oof, you created a backdraft. Be smart. Do a little fire drill thing. Trust me, just in case it ever happens to you, you'll know what to do.